Hello, I'm Barbara Brady, Vice President and Director of Neutral Management at FINRA Dispute Resolution. Welcome, and thank you for listening to this workshop on FINRA's Information Security Policy. I am pleased to introduce you to our FINRA faculty. First, Lori Jane, who is FINRA's Chief Privacy Officer and Associate General Counsel, and Rick Berry, Dispute Resolution's Senior Vice President and Director of Case Administration and Regional Office Services. During this workshop, Lori will introduce the FINRA Information Security Policy and explain our legal obligations for compliance. Then, Rick will discuss your role as arbitrators and mediators, neutrals in FINRA's parlance, in safeguarding confidential and personal information and outline steps to take if there is a breach of the information security policy. Lori, will you please begin by explaining why FINRA has an information security policy and the steps that DR takes to safeguard confidential party and arbitrator and mediator information?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Barbara. Information security is a very important topic because security breaches have serious and legal consequences. Those consequences affect not only FINRA, but also the people whose information may have been lost or compromised. FINRA's focus on information safeguarding arises from our mission to protect investors and ensure market integrity. With information being one of our greatest commodities, it only makes sense to ensure we have solid policies and procedures in place to safeguard information. FINRA relies upon department management to identify, classify, and safeguard department information in a manner that meets or exceeds the basic requirements put in place by the FINRA Information Security Policy, or ISP. FINRA continues to focus on information safeguarding, not only due to our commitment to our mission, but also due to our need to meet state law requirements in the information security arena. To date, 46 states, along with Puerto Rico, the District of Columbia, and the Virgin Islands, require that companies that have or maintain personal confidential information in these states give formal notice to individuals if their information is stolen, lost, or acquired by an unauthorized person. When states require notice, companies responsible for lost or stolen personal information must notify the affected individuals, but may also be required to notify a state attorney general or the consumer protection boards in their state. Upon receiving such a report, some states make the notice public by posting it on a website. Several states also have laws requiring that companies with information on state residents implement substantive safeguarding procedures. And additionally, about a dozen states have legislated requirements for properly disposing of such information. In light of all of these state requirements, FINRA's objective here is to ensure we meet state legal requirements and ensure that parties we work with are also aware of these requirements and take reasonable steps to comply with the requirements. Now let's look at the basic principles of information security. FINRA's ability to achieve its regulatory mission depends on the collection, use, and dissemination of information. The information and information systems we use are essential to our regulatory program and corporate activities. FINRA classifies its information into three categories. First, public information. Public information is information generally available on FINRA.org or made available through FINRA mailings or publications. Second, the internal information. Internal information that FINRA and its independent contractors may share internally with each other for legitimate business purposes. And third, confidential information. Confidential information is information that could harm FINRA, a brokerage firm, or an individual, such as investors, employees, firm representatives, arbitrators, mediators, etc., if such information is released publicly. Potential harm could include business harm, reputational harm, violation of law, or potential for identity or financial theft. Confidential information does not include information that is required to be made public via FINRA or SEC rule or information that is already publicly available. A subset of confidential information, personal confidential information, or PCI, includes personal information that is highly sensitive and runs the more serious risk of identity theft. Personal confidential information includes, but is not limited to, Social Security numbers, individual taxpayer ID numbers, driver's license numbers, passport numbers, party addresses and the addresses of your fellow arbitrators, banking and brokerage account numbers, criminal history, fingerprints, expunged records, attorney-client communication, and medical or health records or information. Incidents involving the loss or theft of personal confidential information must be immediately reported to FINRA. Many of the state notice laws have deadlines about reporting breaches and require FINRA to give appropriate notice in timeframes as short as 30 days. FINRA information may exist in the following forms: paper, electronic, audio, video, and individual knowledge. FINRA arbitrators and mediators need to safeguard FINRA information regardless of its form. FINRA's information security policy sets forth the day-to-day standards for collecting, using, and sharing this information, as well as standards for handling and securing related physical assets, such as computers, laptops, recording devices, and PDAs. As I stated earlier, investor protection is FINRA's mission. We are very careful to protect confidential information and ask that you help us meet this mission statement by taking certain safeguards as you work with confidential party information and confidential information about your fellow FINRA neutrals. We have a responsibility to protect all confidential information in our possession, including the confidential information in parties' case files, as well as the confidential information in our arbitrator and mediator files. A note about arbitration awards. Awards are made publicly available on FINRA's website. Most arbitration awards do not contain personal confidential information. Very rarely, an award might need to contain sensitive information like an account number. In that case, FINRA will redact that part of the award before we publish it on our website. As neutrals working with FINRA, you too have a responsibility to protect the case and neutral information sent to you while serving on a case. So I will now pass the presentation over to Rick Berry, who will discuss specific measures that you can take to safeguard personal security information that you come in contact with while serving as neutrals.
Thanks, Lori. As FINRA arbitrators and mediators, you may encounter confidential party information and arbitrator and mediator information in your possession and should take safeguarding this information very seriously. The arbitrators and mediators on our roster are ethically obligated to keep confidential all information obtained in an arbitration or mediation. The case packet and subsequent pleadings that you receive will all likely contain confidential and personal information. As a general rule, you should treat the case and arbitrator-related confidential information in your possession the same as you would your own personal confidential information. Here are a few examples of what may constitute a breach of confidential information: faxing documents to the wrong number, sending emails to the wrong recipient, placing the wrong letter in an envelope, sending unencrypted personal confidential information by email, leaving materials in public places, and losing a laptop that contains case-related information. Now let's discuss some general ways that you, as FINRA neutrals, can safeguard party and neutral information. First, case-related material should not be left out in the open on a desk where others can see it. Be sure to secure confidential case and arbitrator-related information if you walk away from your desk. Additionally, when not in use, be sure to place all case-related documents in a secure, preferably locked, location. Although we know this goes without saying, it's good practice to work on one case at a time if you're serving on multiple cases. Verify that you are sending the correct order and enclosures to the correct co-panelist or party. For example, if the parties and arbitrators have agreed to direct communication, especially when they contain personal confidential information. Specify both a case number and a case name on orders that you transmit to staff, co-panelists, or to parties. When using email, reconfirm your intended recipients prior to sending the message, especially when using Microsoft Outlook's auto-populate feature. Also, confirm that group addresses are up to date prior to sending group emails. When faxing, double check that fax number that you've entered prior to pressing the send button. At FINRA, when staff sends an email that contains personal, confidential information like social security numbers, brokerage account numbers, or medical records, we encrypt the email using a program called WinZip and call the recipient with a password to open the file. If you plan to send an email that contains personal confidential information, you should contact staff for instructions on sending it. Additionally, all FINRA staff members' desktop and laptop computers are encrypted so that if a laptop is stolen or misplaced, the data on the laptop is secure. We encourage you to encrypt your computers that have FINRA party or arbitrator or mediator personal confidential information on them. When sending updates to your neutral profile, please double check that the data provided is accurate. In an effort to ensure that staff sends confidential information to your correct email, fax, or home address, we recently added a section to the oath cover letter asking you to verify the accuracy of the information FINRA has on file for you. For hearings not held at a FINRA office, FINRA will send you, by overnight carrier, a digital recording device to record the hearing. It is imperative that you return the digital recording device with the memory card in the machine back to the appropriate FINRA regional office using an overnight carrier with a tracking system. Finally, before we conclude, let's discuss the many ways to dispose of confidential case-related documents in a secure manner. Rule number one, never throw case-related material in a garbage can, as this is a violation of the information security policy. If a case concludes by hearing and was held in one of our FINRA regional offices, you may leave the extra arbitrator and mediator case files in the regional office conference room and the file will be shredded. But be sure to let FINRA know that you have left documents and clearly identify the documents marked to be shredded. Also, clearly mark the arbitrator exhibit file, which will serve as the official record of the case, as you normally do today. If the hearing is held at a Regus facility, you may leave the documents at the business facility and should alert the Regus on-site representative that documents remain in the room that are marked to be shredded. Be sure to secure and clearly mark the arbitrator exhibit file and return it to FINRA as the official record of the case, as you normally do today. Now, if the hearing is held in any other facility, you must also take the documents with you and shred them if you have a shredding device. If you do not have a shredding device, contact the regional office staff and they will provide you with shipping information so that the documents can be returned to FINRA for safe disposal at no cost to you. And again, be sure to secure and clearly mark the arbitrator exhibit file and return it to FINRA as the official record of the case, again, as you normally do today. You are also permitted to keep the case documents and take them with you as long as you preserve the confidentiality of the documents. If parties wish to retain secure control of the materials, they should take any duplicate materials that are not needed for the official record with them when leaving and store them. And if the case settles or is withdrawn, either shred the material if you have a shredding device or contact the regional office for information on sending the material back to FINRA for safe disposal. Now let's discuss what steps to take in the event that there is a security breach despite the best efforts outlined above. We'll start by reviewing two examples of possible security breaches. An arbitrator, who we'll call Arbitrator A, emailed unencrypted documents to the parties. The documents contain party names and associated financial account numbers, among other information. Let me stop right here because we already have a security breach. The breach occurred because personal information, including the financial account numbers and names of the parties, was sent in an unencrypted email. Continuing on in our example, about an hour after the email was sent, Arbitrator A received a reply from an unaffiliated third party stating that they received an email from Arbitrator A, but they have no idea what the email is for and why they received it. At that time, Arbitrator A realizes that he inadvertently sent the documents to the wrong person because MS Outlook autofilled the to field and he failed to verify the recipient's list prior to sending the document. Now we have a second breach because the email was misdirected and received by a third party. In a few minutes, we will discuss steps to take when there is such a security breach. But first, let's look at another example. You are preparing for the first day of hearing by reviewing the entire case file over triple grande cappuccino at Starbucks. You settle into a large wing chair with your cappuccino to review the file and then read the newspaper. Several hours later, when you're home packing your briefcase for the next day, you realize that you do not have the case file. In a panic, you call Starbucks, but they cannot locate the file. This is a breach of FINRA's information security policy because the documents are no longer in your possession and their whereabouts are unknown. Whenever you experience an actual or potential security breach, the first step is to contact a staff member assigned to the case and explain the situation that gave rise to the breach. The DR staff member will contact the FINRA Data Privacy and Protection Office and work with them to complete a loss report. The DR staff member may ask you additional questions to complete the report. Whenever you believe there's a security breach, do not be afraid to tell us, because non-reporting is actually worse than the breach itself and can have serious consequences. If you believe there's a security breach, let staff know the following information: when the breach occurred, what information is at risk, the form of the security breach, meaning was it electronic or a hard copy breach, and the last known whereabouts of the lost or misdirected information. FINRA will determine if personal confidential information is involved. This is important because it may trigger notification requirements under certain state laws, as Lori explained earlier. Now, before we wrap up today, I want to tell you about a recent notice to parties posted on our website titled, "Help Us Protect Your Personal Confidential Information." There is also a link to the notice below this audio file. The notice speaks specifically to what FINRA does to protect personal confidential information and what arbitrators and mediators should do to protect personal confidential information, and what the parties can do to protect this information. The steps that arbitrators and mediators should take to protect information have all been discussed here today. But I do want to share with you all of the steps that staff take to ensure personal confidential information is protected. First, all FINRA staff have received training on the FINRA information security policy and importance of protecting personal confidential information. Second, they verify the recipient for all case correspondence. Third, they confirm arbitrator contact information, address, email, and fax upon appointment. Fourth, staff encrypts electronic messages sent outside FINRA that contain personal confidential information. They also encrypt digital files when stored on a portable media device, for example, flash drives. Staff stores and disposes of case materials in a manner that preserves the confidentiality of the information. And finally, FINRA staff removes personal confidential information that appears in publicly available awards. The notice to parties also outlines the steps that parties can take to protect personal confidential information. These steps include redacting such information from pleadings, exhibits, and other documents upon agreement of the parties. For example, the parties may agree not to use Social Security, account, or driver's license numbers, and to only use the last few digits of account numbers in case correspondence. Ask the arbitrators to resolve any disagreements among the parties concerning the redaction of personal confidential information. And take all documents that are not needed for the official record when leaving the arbitration hearing. By working together, we can ensure that personal confidential information is well protected. So, to summarize, FINRA's ability to achieve its regulatory mission depends on the collection, use, and dissemination of information. As FINRA arbitrators and mediators, you play an integral role in safeguarding the personal confidential information in your possession during the life of a case. By following the guidelines for safeguarding information provided in this neutral workshop, you are advancing the FINRA mission of investor protection and market integrity, and ensuring that FINRA complies with the state laws that Lori outlined earlier. And please immediately report any suspected breaches of the security policy to the staff member assigned to the case you are serving on. We appreciate your efforts to assist FINRA with the safeguarding of the confidential information outlined above.
Thanks, Rick. My thanks to Lori and Rick for sharing information about FINRA's information security policy. If you have any additional questions about FINRA's information security policy, please send them to FINRA DR call-in workshop. There is a link to this mailbox right next to the link for the audio recording. Once again, thank you for listening.